are you the paranormal investigators?
Yes, we are.
Hi.
Last time I checked, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Not too bad.
Good. What is your name?
Jay Burkhardt.
Okay, I think that there is something in my house. It's been going on for probably about 6 weeks now.
Now, has there been any type of traumatic experience or death within your family over the course of the past 6 weeks?
No, nothing like that at all.
Okay.
It's a little bit kind of like sexual.
Interesting.
And it's weird because I just got implants like 6 weeks ago. So I don't know if that has anything to do with it.
An implant?
Yeah.
Of what?
Oh, implant, like breast implants.
Huh. Now, did the entity start within the same time period?
Yeah, it was pretty much like the next day.
Alrighty then. Well, this is an interesting one. Okay, go on.
Well, okay, here's what's been happening. It gets, okay, the lights start flickering, it gets very cold, and then I feel hands on my breasts. And the thing is, it's really not bothering me. I'd like to actually consummate this with him. I think that would make him happy, and then maybe he'd go away.
Whatever, you've consummated with other males, did they go away?
No, that's a good point. They usually stick around, but...
Thank you. Well, let me be blunt. I take it you have a high sex drive?
Yeah.
Okay, well then basically that's what's feeding the alleged entity.
Right.
Especially if you're multiple orgasmic, you're literally... you know, creating a smorgasbord for this entity, which is permitting it to actually have more cohesion of a physical variety within its reality.
I see. Okay. So how do I actually get the ghost to poke me in the butt?
How do I what?
How do I actually get the ghost to poke me? In the butt, preferably.
Okay, let's say, for example, if you were to get on your bed and let's say take a doggy position.
Okay, let me do that now. Okay.
Visualize your imaginary lover mounting you from behind.
Okay.
If you feel the sensation, then obviously you know that it's possible.
You want to come watch?
Just for laughs and giggles. Do you have access to a computer or...
No, not right now.
Okay, because basically what I was going to say is if you could ever get photographs of some of your experiments or some of your attempts, and,
yeah.
if you could possibly send them to me, like, by email, that would be beautiful.
Okay, you're not just trying to see pictures of my implants, are you?
It would purely be scientific. I'm not saying that there wouldn't be a part of me that wouldn't go, nice spot.
Yeah, and you can. That's okay. That's actually, you know, exciting for me.
Well, hey, baby, whatever turns you up.
Okay.
You know.
All right, well, I'm going to let you go. So I will call you back and get your email address as soon as I get some photos of this.
Yeah, might actually want to do a movie on this subject.
Exactly. All right, well, thank you so much for your help.
And thank you for the illumination.
You're very welcome. Thank you, Mr. Ghostbuster.
Ma'am.
Okay.
Not a problem.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hi, my name is Sean Burke, Indiana Ghost Tracker, www.indianaghost.org, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk.
Be sure and tell them Large Marge sent ya!
You know, that's one thing Will forgot to do last week.
Yeah.
I got called out 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And Will wanted to challenge my true cult metal expertise. And he made this big stink about it a couple weeks ago on the show. And so, like, all week, like the week before last week, I was like, well, I'm going to get shredded. He's, like, going to get some stuff that I've never heard before. And, like, you know, quiz me on this. It was going to be, like, 10 questions. I had to get 8 out of 10 correct.
Right.
Band name. Song title, I believe, album it came from, and what label it was on, what record label, and optional what year it was produced or recorded. But Will didn't do it.
Nope, he never did that.
So I win. So he owes me a steak dinner now, I think. What do you think, Doug?
I think by default.
By default, I think I should get a steak
dinner. By challenging, but then not creating the test.
Yeah. You know, so we're gonna have to discuss that with him later on.
I want to reintroduce the show. This is Ghostly Talk, and I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
And we're, of course, you know, broadcasting live from the Haunted Warren Winery in beautiful Warren, Michigan.
Not so beautiful today. It's raining.
Well, yeah. That's
raining, and it's cold.
Yeah, but it's still a nice city.
Really?
Yeah, well,
why not? What city councilor told you that?
Hey, I got $50. to say that. So.
Did you?
No.
It's a beautiful, wonderful, pretty city. I'm going to get 100 now.
Wow.
There you go.
And we're of course, broadcast on Pioneer Radio Network, which is pioneer.rolo, R-O-L-O.net.
Where has the mighty Phobos been?
He's in channel right now. He's in MIRC right
now.
Well,
I send my love all the way over to the seas to
Across the beautiful
seas. UK.
Yes.
Crikey, yo.
Which I think the weather there is probably very similar to here right now.
I think England and Michigan are becoming one and the same as far as weather's concerned.
I think it's only, the same thing, only separated by a big ocean.
Yeah. All I need now is economy cars and fish and chips, and we're good to go.
I want to mention also, Zarella is in channel.
Mm-hmm.
She's talking on the IRC network, and I'm monitoring. I'm sort of just reading, you know, what's going on in there.
Yeah.
And I want to remind you, Zarella does her own show.
Yeah.
She does Full Moon Radio.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to fullmoonradio.com, she now has an archives section, so you can click on the archives. And so if you miss the shows, the live shows, you can get the archives.
Much like our show.
Right.
Yeah.
So and that's important.
It's very important, I think. So that's what a lot of people don't understand. It's like when somebody, so I heard you do a radio show, man. I'm like, what's up? And we're like, we broadcast 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. That was weird. Anyways, we broadcast 6 p.m. to 9 p.m.
I think Zeus is here.
Zeus is raining fire down in the haunted winery. I go, I can't listen to that. I have to work or something. Well, no, listen, dude, if you can't listen live from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Sunday nights, you can download the archive for free. A lot of people don't understand that concept, especially the concept of free.
Right.
Because it's always been free, and we plan on keeping it free forever. That's just the way we do this thing, right? We want to get the information to get out there.
It's distributed under the open content license.
Mm-hmm.
You can, of course, burn it to CD and play it in your car. You can give it away to friends.
Mm-hmm.
You can download it for friends.
Mm-hmm.
You can do whatever you want with it.
Exactly.
Other than...
Sell it. Do not sell it.
Right.
Please don't sell it.
Because it's supposed to be free.
Speaking of information...
Yeah.
Did you have anything else, Doug, before I just totally cut you off?
Nope, I'm absolutely good.
Speaking of information... I don't think we've ever had one good segue on this show.
No.
Without calling ourselves, hey, nice segue, by the way.
Yeah. The few that actually have
actually,
happened.
Like, yeah. Like, went well.
We mentioned that.
That was really cool, man. Do that again.
Right? Do another segue. That was good.
Speaking of information. We do have a man on the phone who does not need an introduction.
Right, exactly. I don't know what it has to do with information, but it's awesome. It works for me.
This man is an encyclopedia of information.
Well, he certainly is. That is entirely true.
Yes. He's also a professional boxer, too, from what we understand.
So we have to be, tread softly.
Well, very softly, because we'll get hurt.
Yeah, he also is hosts the Shaman's Apprentice, right? Is that right?
Well, Sacred Soils is his
Sacred
website.
Sacred Soils is the website.
This is his website.
He's
also
in the Shaman's
the president of the former...
Oh, yes, that's where it comes up.
That's where it's going to come
up. It's my fault.
It's your fault.
I think it's entirely my fault.
Weighing in at 279 pounds, it is the mighty Marcus Leader. Marcus, are you there?
I'm here.
Hi, Marcus. How are you doing today?
Oh, pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Real good. First thing we wanted to talk about, if this is okay with you, is apparently Doug made a big boo-boo.
No. It wasn't Doug's fault.
I think it was.
Well, I've been trying to find something to pin on him for a long time.
Oh, I see.
So let's run with this so I can beat him some more with some of our mail sitting over here.
I'll send you some more things so you can beat him.
Excellent. Oh, look, we got a club in the mail.
Yeah.
Woohoo! Marcus, tell us about the North Idaho Paranormal Society.
The North Idaho Paranormal Society is being put to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And the main reason, and it wasn't your fault, Doug. That was actually kind of funny. But a few of my colleagues and some other people have pointed out that the sexual connotations that the acronym for North Idaho Paranormal Society, which is NIPS, the acronyms is possibly fuel for the skeptics. In this hobby and science that we have.
Yeah.
And so in order to eliminate any possibility of that, them using that against us, we've decided to change the name. And I originally had planned to bring North Idaho Paranormal Society into another organization that I'm forming right now, and it's a research center. It's a paranormal research center, and I actually wasn't going to form it for about another year or so, but I decided to form it early. It's called the Leader Research Center.
Okay.
And that's what the new name of the group will be, is the Leader Research Center.
And that's LRC.
LRC, and I think that's safe. You know?
I don't think we're going to offend anybody with that.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds pretty neutral to me. LRC,
yeah.
I mean, any acronym you can make up. I make an art form out of destroying acronyms. That's what I do at work all day long, and that's what I do, obviously, in the paranormal field. You know, we found out something, though, Mark. It's just in the beginning of the show today. Apparently, we're going to have to change our name, too, I think.
Oh, no.
Yes, we may have to.
Because apparently...
The name, as it is, of Ghostly Talk on the banner is Ghostly Talk Internet Talk Show. And that's also on our cards.
Yeah.
You know, our business cards and everything.
Yeah.
Ghostly Talk Internet Talk Show. And if you use its acronym, you know, if you make that into an acronym, well, it turns out that it's GTITS.
Mm-hmm. Which I thought was pretty hot myself.
That's right up there with NIPS.
So we could start up, like, you know, maybe we could start up a whole umbrella organization, like, called, like, let's see, Perverts for Paranormal so
P-F-P-R.
Perverts for Paranormal Research, right?
Or Paranormal Research Perverted Acronyms. So P-R-P-A. PERPA.
I love it.
I think we're going to be huge, man.
Yeah.
I think let's get the check signed, let's get this stuff canned, let's get it rolling, sock it, ship it, let's move. Well, you are folding that over, though, more or less, I mean, and you're going to be starting up the Leader Research Center. I can't remember anything anymore. Leader Research Center.
Yeah.
Is it going to be the same lines of work that you were doing with NIPS? I can't remember anything, man.
That's okay. It'll take on the same form. We're going to have the same people involved, you know, in the research. We're also, you know, the membership. You know, anybody that wants to join it can join it, and they get, you know, bi-monthly newsletters that any research is being done, and any field reports like that. And there's going to be active and passive members. An active member is somebody who actually goes on the investigations with us. And the passive members are just the ones that, you know, get to interject their own opinions or even read about the research. And there's other things that I'm going to be doing with the actual research center. One of them is a project involving intention. Some people know it as mass consciousness. And that's where a lot of people get together, and they focus on the same thing to achieve a specific outcome. And that's part of the research that I'm doing. And so all the members of, I almost said NIPS, all the members of the LRC will be able to participate in those experiments, and they'll receive information about how to do that. And we'll see what kind of results we get there. But that's... You know, that's part of the research. I planned on NIPS coming into working with the Leader Research Center as field investigators. But now we're just going to eliminate that name, and it'll just be the Leader Research Center. And, you know, there's different equipment that I'm working on. Some of it involves Tesla technology. And it's going to be kind of... The active member is going to be field testing a lot of this. The device that I sent you guys, which I forget what you call it now, but it's, you know, the thing I sent you.
The beryllium crystal subtle energy transducer.
Wow, thank you.
I was calling it the flux capacitor for a while. I was calling it. Yeah.
But it's like the BC set, right?
BC
set.
BC set.
And there's one other thing I'm sending you. In fact, you'll get it, Scott. There's sound waves that are supposed to go with that. It can be used without it, but EVPs. We're getting off the subject here a little bit, but
that's all right.
EVPs will you know, when you have white noise, for example, there's a theory that the sound coalesces out of the white noise, and that the actual words are formed out of that.
Mm-hmm.
And this sound that I've been experimenting with uses harmonic beat frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
And those frequencies, because of the way the wave sounds interact with each other, there's more opportunities for an entity to take that energy and to coalesce it instead of just static white noise.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be getting that probably this week sometime.
Oh, cool.
To use with that device. But
I don't. Well, we've heard these before, too, I believe, because we've played a few of your EVPs on the show before.
Yeah, that sound you hear. In fact, I sent you... actually, I sent Will another one. I didn't realize he wasn't there tonight. I went ahead and sent it to Doug's email, but you probably don't have time to bring it down now.
We can bring it down. We can do that.
Oh, I'm not, okay. Yeah.
Doug can pull it down while we're talking here. We can bring it down, and we can play it if you'd like.
All right. Yeah, that EVP, the last time I was on, I was at a house in Spokane, Washington, and that's where a lot of those EVPs came from.
Mm-hmm.
And since we... talk last, I've been out to that house again, and we conducted another investigation. And in fact, in my field folder there on Ghostly Talk, I have some of the pictures there.
Yeah, you can go to that. I've looked at that myself. I have to say one thing about those pictures, Marcus.
Uh-huh.
You are the king of the caption, I think. Now you write the greatest captions I've ever seen for any picture I've ever seen. It's a little book. It's wonderful. No, it's very in-depth.
Oh, thank you.
It's explained very well. But that folder is up in the GT Field Reporters folder in our picture album. You can go into that, and there's a folder in there called Marcus Leader, I believe. You just put your name on there, I think.
Yeah.
And that's where some of Marcus's pictures are featured in also.
Is it called Native Ammer?
That's it.
Ah, let me drag it in.
We're going to drag it in right now for you.
Okay. Do you want to hear that?
And what that is, that was done in the same house, and it was on that investigation for that folder that's up there. But the EVP, it's only one I caught there that time, and the EVP was captured in the basement of the house. It seems to be where there's a lot of activity.
Mm-hmm.
And the best that I can tell, and anybody else that's heard it, it doesn't sound like it's speaking English.
Mm-hmm.
It's real low frequency, but it sounds like it's almost like a Native American dialect.
Really?
And since that time, too, we also discovered that the house, that whole neighborhood, is on top of an Indian burial ground.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know if that has any is related to it or not, but, you know.
It seems to be an M.O. for a lot of hauntings.
Yeah.
It's a big M.O. Can we give this a listen, Marcus?
Sure, go ahead.
Let's give this a listen real quick. We got him in so you can hear it, right, Doug?
Yeah, he'll be
cool.
Able to hear it.
All right, cool.
I think. I just did a knob, and, you know, we'll find out.
Didn't you throw an apple at the board, and it's supposed to make that work, right?
Well, I did indeed, you know, put a pentagram around it.
Okay, all right, cool.
That was what my pagan friend said I needed to do.
Okay, well, let's try
give
that.
It a go.
All right, here we go.
Ooh, that's low.
It's real low, but you hear something come through.
All right, let me...
Let's bring it up louder.
I'm going to try... I'll make it go the maximum I possibly can.
All right.
Okay.
It's very low in the mix, but something does kind of cut through that tone you had going, Marcus.
Yeah. And that's something I'm trying to work on, too. A lot of times the tone drowns out the EVP, so I'm trying to find a way to filter it out.
Well, it sounds really low. Like, the voice itself is, like, you know, very, like, gurgly and low. Can we Doug, can we give it a little more listen?
Yeah.
That'd be all right? Let's try it one more time. Uh-oh.
Well, that was some kind of...
Marcus's phone broke it.
Yeah. That was probably my phone.
Yeah, no problem. Let's just listen to it one more time, then.
It's all right.
Guy sounds like a death metal singer, man.
It sounds really deep.
It sounds, if you hear it amplified even higher, it sounds something like... It sounds like a meat guy or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Do you mind if I mess with that thing a little bit on my lab?
My guest.
I'm gonna mess with that. That's a very cool piece of art.
I want to cut out just the wee.
Yeah, if you can get that, I've been trying to find.
I want that.
You want that?
Yeah, I
want
to use that as the background of something.
Oh, well, that's what Marcus is sending.
Well, you're gonna get that.
We're getting that. Good. We're gonna be getting like the full hi-fi blown out CD version of it.
Because that's an awesome sound. That sounds like a sound effect out of like a cool sci-fi movie or something.
It sounds like something off the original Starship Enterprise.
Right, right.
That's what it sounds like.
I expect the Klingons to show up any second.
Please take the paper plates off your face.
But
you're no longer welcome on this ship.
But evidently, now you, of course, look at it much more scientifically than I do. You know, oh, what a cool sound. You undoubtedly, correct me if I'm wrong, but you probably produced that sound for particular reasons, right?
Yeah. Just for that reason.
Okay.
And you explained that a few minutes ago. I mean, obviously, with white noise. The idea is that somebody asked me about that movie again this weekend. Oh, God, I smarted it. Anyways, as far as the white noise goes, it's supposed to be able to materialize out of that particular sound. They use that sound as a catalyst to produce words and phrases and things like that. With this tone, again, Marcus, I just want to understand this. With this particular tone, it's a different tone, obviously. What are we trying to accomplish with that?
Okay, what you have is a mixture. There's several voices. By voices, I mean audio frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
There's several voices mixed in there, and some of them are shifted in frequency. Sometimes only the difference is only like 4 cycles per second,
mm-hmm.
And that creates a beat frequency.
Okay.
And, it's best if it's played too with some type of stereo, because it is recorded in stereo,
mm-hmm.
and that's where you get your beat frequencies from. Now, when that sound fills a room environment, there's sound waves. If you were to look at the sound waves, you'd see them coming up and hitting each other.
Mm-hmm.
They're peaking and they're colliding. That's what creates a beat.
Mm-hmm.
And at that beat point, the theory is that they're able to take the energy where it becomes zero before it takes off again.
Mm-hmm.
And they're able to manipulate that energy with whatever sources of energy they're using.
Now, is this also a calling card of sorts? If you have an environment,
mm-hmm.
for example, you turn the stereo on, you let the recorder run, and you let this thing go for 15, 20 minutes or whatever.
Uh-huh.
You have an entity. Let's say there's an entity there. There's some type of energy, cruising about the room.
Yeah.
Okay. They hear, and let's say the entity hears this particular sound.
Yeah.
And it has a steady beat. After time, do they understand, okay, look, this thing has a steady beat, I should be able to materialize my voice at this point? Because it's repeated, it's a repeating pattern.
Yeah.
Do you follow me?
Yeah, that's what I'm actually hoping for, is that they'll actually learn how to use the sound.
Mm-hmm.
And it also, they don't hear the sounds. They more feel them,
mm-hmm.
like we feel tingling in our bodies. That's how the sounds appear to other entities.
But, okay.
It's not really heard the same way. But, they can, if they recognize those patterns, they can learn to influence them the same way. And I don't know if all entities can do that or not, but that's where a lot of the EVPs come from. When you hear white noise, it's coalescing it right out of the sound itself.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a hell of an approach, Marcus. It's a hell of an approach.
Yeah, I try to take different approaches, and some of it, some of the ideas I get from, my scientific training, and some of it I get from my shamanic training.
Mm.
And so it kind of gives me a perspective to look at two different ways. It's like you were talking about the veil earlier,
mm-hmm.
thinning this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
And what my actual beliefs are is the veil is a buffering zone between the next world up and then our physical world.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't separate them, but it allows energy to transfer back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And the veil doesn't actually grow thinner at this time of year or in certain places around the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a river that's flowing with a lot of rapids in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's real hard to see through or to pass anything through, but at certain times of the year and under certain conditions, it becomes more calm.
Mm-hmm.
And the energy can transfer back and forth. And that's part of the project that I'm working on, where I'm working with real-time communication, similar to the Spiricon device. That's the theory that I'm working with.
Mm.
So I'm looking to either to create a channel through the veil like that, so that communication or energy or information without all the interference.
And it's breathtaking, Marcus, to see people doing this
I'm
kind of work.
Breath, yeah.
No, I mean, it's breathtaking just to hear this kind of work being done, especially by a friend of the show like yourself. It's always amazing to have you on the show and hear you talk about the things you're working on.
Thank you.
Because, I mean, I'm trying to learn all these ideas that you know already, and it's very cool to see somebody really run with this thing and also send us really cool pieces of equipment, too. That's really we love that stuff. That's really neat.
There'll be more coming. But,
cool. Well, thank you so much. Marcus, we do have to drop off and go to break again, though, unfortunately.
Sure, no problem.
But thanks for coming on again. We always love to have you on the show, and you have the main line. You can come on anytime you want.
Okay.
So all you have to do is just basically call us or email us, and we'll have you on the show right away.
All right.
Cool.
Sounds good.
Marcus, thank you.
Thank you so much.
We'll talk to you soon, man. I mean, I'll be looking in the mail for those CDs this week, too.
Yep.
Thanks, Marcus. We'll see
you. All right.
Bye-bye.
See you guys later.
Take it easy. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Kind of flew off the main topic, but I think that was very cool to talk about that regardless. I'm going to mess with that audio.
Yeah,
well,
it's interesting. It's right on the desktop here. So.
Okay, cool. I'm going to mess with that tonight probably for a little while. Let's take another quick break, though, because next hour and a half, we're going to be talking with the mighty Jeff Bellinger from Ghost.
Evidently, we pronounce his name wrong.
How you spell?
I have no idea.
Bellinger?
Whiplash had left a voicemail for me.
Uh-huh.
But I guess I didn't get it or didn't hear it or something, and he knows how to pronounce it. We'll ask Jeff.
We'll ask Jeff.
Let's take another
quick. That sounds good to me.
I like that idea.
All right, man. Let's take another quick break then. What are we going to try this time?
General short one.
Okay.
4 minutes, 5 seconds.
All right, let's do it.
do I have all the knobs turned right? We'll find out anyway. I'll double click on it and see what happens.
All right.
Oh, I hear it.
I hear too.
Yeah. It's like a heartbeat.
It's a heartbeat.
Something must be happening.
I don't know. It's doing something. Oh!
Ah! Then we will start our break now.
All right.
From the Paranormal Research Center of New England. I hope you guys enjoy listening to Ghostly Talk. These guys are great. Have a lot of fun with them doing their show. And feel free to contact them if you ever need anything. And feel free to contact me if you ever need anything. Be willing to share experiences and talk about things. And like I said, listen to my buddies here at Ghostly Talk.
Hello, this is 911. What is your emergency?
Hello, 911, you got to help me. There's a ghost in my trailer.
Excuse me, ma'am?
There's a ghost in my trailer. He's a flipping and a flopping and a flying all over.
Ma'am, please calm down. Ghosts do not haunt mobile homes.
Yes, they do. I saw it on hard copy.
Okay, what is the ghost doing?
He turned the lights on and off and then he knocked on the door.
Are you sure it's not the power company?
No, he's right here on the couch eating Cheetos.
Okay, what does the ghost look like?
He's invisible. I can only see the horror stuff around his fingers and his mouth.
Sound familiar? This scenario happens every day at trailer parks across America. Experts estimate that one out of every six mobile homes is haunted by a ghost or perhaps a possum. You could be next. Here are some telltale signs. A can of skull mysteriously floats through the air. Blood drips out of your simulated wood paneling. The room is spinning and you're not even drunk yet. If you think your trailer may have an unwanted guest, please call Trailer Exterminators. We specialize in mobile home ghost removal as well as the extermination of aliens, secret government bugs, and in-laws. Don't call 911. Call us now.
Trailer Exterminators, may I help you?
Yeah, the government has built a tiny robotic inchworm that has infiltrated my compound and attempted to steal my secret car's poison recipe.
Don't worry, sir. We'll be right over.
All right, but hurry, because they're about to unleash a giant bat.
Don't delay. Call now. Double Wise X.
Hi, I'm Carrie at www.missourighost.net. You are listening to Ghostly Talk.
Trusting in the sanity and restraint of the United States is not an option.
Go home and die.
I probably should push those buttons.
Yeah, no kidding.
There's like all these buttons and knobs, and I'm just having a blast. Normally, Will takes care of all this stuff, guys.
Yeah, we just sit here and go, blah, 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 blah,
right,
blah, blah,
right.
blah,
and then,
blah.
And then Will just magically twists a knob sometimes, and something happens.
And then it happens, exactly.
Yeah. So this is all, like, new to me, and I mean, you know.
You're doing a good job.
Cross-training. Well, evidently, the volumes have been up and down and just all over the place, and... Well, what can you do?
What can you do, exactly? This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott Allen.
I'm Doug.
And this is broadcasted live tonight. Only tonight, though.
There's been actually people popping the IRC channel.
Mm-hmm.
Is this live? Is anyone, like, anyone at the host actually
yes,
in the channel?
Yes, this is live.
Yes, this is live. And it's live on Sunday nights from 6 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern time.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, it's podcasted or a replay on one of many fine internet radio stations throughout the internet.
Yeah.
So, you know, support your local... internet radio station. Support your local everything. Support independent
stuff. I don't
think
the word local really exists on the internet anymore.
I don't think so either.
I don't think it's really a term yet. But you know, hey, support your internet radio station.
It's rather than, like, support your local Pepsi bottling company.
Yeah. Go to the party store and buy cases upon cases.
So support the independent radio stations.
Yeah, totally.
Support it, just all that stuff. Go and listen to them. I mean, they have things to say just like we do sometimes.
Exactly.
Meantime, sometimes have something. So.
While you're supporting us.
Yes.
And I don't mean supporting us monetarily because, well, we do, I guess I do a pretty good job of that myself. I know Doug does a wonderful job of it himself.
Yeah, I still have a job, so I'm good. For now.
We do have on the line the mighty. The mighty.
Well,
I just want to give it that dramatic effect, you know.
Ta-da.
There, yeah, do that.
Okay. Do it again.
All right. The mighty.
Ta-da.
The mighty.
Ta-da!
The mighty!
That's that.
Oh, man. Jeff Bellinger's on the line. Jeff, are you there?
I'm here. How you guys doing?
Great.
So far, so good.
So far, so good. I'm
pronounce your last name for us.
Yes.
You know, I pronounce it two ways, believe it or not.
Ah.
If I'm in the United States, I say Belanger.
Belanger.
Okay.
Belanger. And if I'm in Canada or France, it's Bélanger, which is actually a very common name.
Ah.
Bélanger, s'il vous plaît. But
so
we can go.
We
you can just call me Jeff.
All right. Well,
I like that.
That's easier to pronounce. I think.
Yeah. There you go. But the last F is silent.
We were told before the break, or Doug said to me on the break, that I've been pronouncing your name wrong.
So have I.
Everyone has. It's fine.
Okay. We apologize.
No, don't worry about it.
But now we've gotten the truth out.
See, we've taken that type of mispronunciation of names and made it into an art form.
Yes,
excellent.
We call it Ghostly Talk.
Yeah, very good. That's great to be with you guys.
Yeah. Now you have a website.
I do.
And I want you to throw the URL out, because I always screw that up, too, okay? Throw
right.
the URL out just to get us started here.
It's ghostvillage.com.
Ghostvillage.com.
Now, who among our listeners has not been to ghostvillage.com? Raise your hands, because I think everybody has.
Everybody has.
Because you've put together quite an amazing site.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
It's a beautiful website, and it's also chock full of information. You actually also have a featured page now on your site, which we really appreciate, too, which features a lot of the internet radio programs
right.
that tackle the subject of the paranormal like we do here on Ghostly Talk. So thank you for that. We really appreciate that.
You know, that page came to be because I'm lazy. Mm. I love listening to shows like yours, and Sometimes when you go to people's websites, it's kind of tricky to figure out where you listen. Now, yours is easy, upper left, you know, but not everyone is so kind.
Uh-huh.
And so I just wanted to create a page where, you know, there's all every night there's great radio shows going on, and I wanted to create a page where people could just go listen to all of them, you know, look at what time it is and tune right in.
Here's one for you, fullmoonradio.com.
All right.
That's Zarella's brand new show.
It's a new show, yeah.
Just a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, it's a very cool show, too.
Yeah.
But you have this really neat page up there, which that's actually pretty funny. You know, I've done that, too, with things. It's like, you know, I really like that website. I'm just going to link it to Ghostly Talk site so I don't, you know, I don't have to, like, go try to find it again.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I just had
that's
it linked,
the media of the web.
I just, yeah, I had it linked up there, and now I know where I just go and click on the thing, and there, I'm at the site I want to be at.
Yep.
So we appreciate the support, though. Thank you, Jeff.
Of course.
Now, obviously, how long have you been doing Ghost Village?
It started on a dark and dreary night just like this.
Really?
Back in 1999.
Wow.
Yeah, it was 1999. I had two articles I had written for a newspaper that had gone defunct on the paranormal. And that newspaper had a little website, and they said, you know, your two articles get more traffic than anything else on the site.
Oh, okay.
This was back in 99. You know, the Internet was still kind of a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, gee, you know, I, at the same time, I wanted to learn how to build websites, and so and I wanted a place to put those articles again.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kind of built a little 6-page website, and one page said, you know, tell me about your own ghost encounters. And mm-hmm. like every 6 to 8 weeks, someone would send something in from somewhere in the world, and I just started posting them. And
yeah.
And today, gosh, I mean, it's literally every 6 to 8 hours someone sends in a ghost encounter, and I've got such a backlog of material. You know, if I live to be 200, I'll never get through all of it. So, but it's great because the objective from the beginning was to have a place where everybody can come together, where paranormal investigators could come together, where no one was going to profess to be some guru and tell you how things work.
Yeah.
It was a place for skeptics, for religiously inclined to come and damn us, if they will.
Uh-huh.
And then people who are going through hauntings and have questions, who want to learn more. It's a village for everybody.
It's a great source of information. It's a great site to go to, and like you said, if you just want to read articles, get ideas, there's all types of things on there, all types of places you can go on Ghost Village.
Sure.
To explore this thing. Now, you are a ghost hunter yourself, am I correct?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I don't really give myself that term because because when people think ghost hunter, I think they tend to think the people with the gadgets, the EMF meters and,
uh-huh.
and stuff like that. I just use a pen and paper, and I use an audio recorder, but that's mainly to interview the living,
uh-huh.
and I use a camera, but that's looking for pictures for books and magazine articles and website articles.
Yeah.
I'm really more of like a journalist.
Okay.
I'm after the story, and I'm after the history.
Mm-hmm.
And though it really is an investigation, to be sure, you know, because you're trying to uncover facts and see where things lead and dig through the history to see what may be the cause of some of these hauntings and tracking down people and trying to get them to talk about what they may have experienced. But that's really my angle, which I think is a little bit different than how some people are doing it.
It's a different angle, but it's an angle that's getting a little bit more popularity, I find.
Yeah,
people are starting to really hit up on that aspect of it now.
What I want to deal with is the stuff that's indisputable. You know, whether an EMF spike, you know, electromagnetic field reader spike in the middle of a room means that there's a ghost there, we can debate that.
Mm-hmm.
Some people would say yes. Some people would say absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to stick with things that can't be debated. And history, generally, now real history buffs will tell you, of course history can be debated. It's told by the winners. But,
oh, yeah.
But in general, you know, when a building was constructed, who died there, according to police records, you know, kind of events that may have taken place in that specific building or on that land. These are things that are pretty rock solid that we all tend to agree on. And then one step further, I want to talk to eyewitnesses. I'm generally not interested in secondhand information.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk to people who said, I saw this happen,
mm-hmm.
not I heard this happen or my cousin's friend saw this happen. I'm really interested in talking to that first-person eyewitness. And the sooner the better. And that's one of the great things about the Internet, about
mm-hmm.
you know, sites like mine and many other websites that are doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
People are having these experiences, and then they're getting online and trying to understand them, and they're submitting their stories, in some cases just a day or two after they happen. And that's great. That's good data, you know. That's the kind of thing, because, you know, I've spoken to people now. There's people I've been in contact with for years who have had very profound experiences. But years later, they start to say, you know, I'm not so sure anymore.
Mm.
You know, you start to convince yourself that maybe it didn't happen, and you try to explain it away. But at the time, you know, it was very moving. It was a very powerful experience that really affected someone.
And that is a good thing. That's one good thing about the internet right there, and sites like yourself, is people have this, they have this medium now that if they choose to do it right after an experience of some sorts, whether they're into this sort of thing or not,
right,
they can find your site very easily, go on there and post this thing right up. Right, like you just said, and that's good data right there. It's still fresh in your mind. The details are still there.
Right.
The feelings, the emotions, everything that was involved with whatever situation it was is right there. That's very important.
Absolutely.
It's like you said, that's a big thing. And we both know that studying this sort of thing, your I don't want to say the word audience, but your audience or people you're going to talk to a lot, you're going to hear a lot of secondhand things.
Right.
Third-hand things. I've even been to, like, well, my buddy's cousin's friend.
Yeah, right. Or the dreaded FOF, the friend of a friend.
Yeah, you're going to have fourth-party stories. And
yeah, right.
By the time you get into that, it's like, okay, look, I'm not going to blow a whole weekend.
Right.
On fourth-hand information. I'm sorry, I can't do that. We just don't have that kind of time anymore. Did anything happen to you? Well, no.
Right.
Well, thanks for talking. I appreciate it. Now, go away. Because, you know, I mean, not to be sounding a jerk or anything like that, but, you know, and people want to tell a good story.
I don't know, cause as ghost hunters, because ghost hunting, as was brought up by Sean Burris, the incomparable Sean Burris of IGT, it's getting noticed. It's becoming a thing for people to do. It's becoming a lot of people's hobbies, and you know, thanks to media and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what happens is, even I have stories now, my own personal account, and I've got a place to put them. You know, I go to ghostlytalk.com, and I talk about them on the show, so I capture audio description of it.
Mm-hmm.
But like the fingerprints at
Trainwreck site. Mm-hmm.
We have photos of it as well as our accounts, and that's evidence. That's firsthand evidence because I took photos. I was there.
I
tried to rub them away, and then they would come back.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to duplicate it, and it couldn't be duplicated with my own very living fingers.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, you know, the quality of that evidence is up there.
Yeah, it's very high.
Friends of friends are.
Well, it's okay if you're using it as a lead, and then you say, okay, well, can I talk to your friend of a friend?
Yeah.
And if they say, yeah, here's the number, well, you might have something. If they say, well, I don't know, then you're right. You leave it alone. But you're using a good word, and the word is evidence. No one has proved anything yet. Proof is on an individual level, but evidence is what we can gather. And eventually enough evidence adds up that it becomes proof for many people.
Mm.
It's just I don't think people are I don't think science in general is in a position to know how to ask the right questions, to be able to have some conclusive proof of this phenomena, but proof to many, many millions of individuals has already happened. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, totally.
And that's what I found. You know, that's why I stopped trying to convince people a long time ago. All I can do is just pass on the evidence I've collected, the data I've collected, and say, you know, you judge for yourself. One analogy I like to use, if you were sitting on a jury and an attorney brought forth, you know, three or four different witnesses, you know, who said, hey, I saw the defendant rob this store while I was in it. I was shopping and I saw the defendant. That's him, you know. You'd convict the person because it's proof beyond a reasonable doubt.
Mm.
Well, geez, I've interviewed over 1,000 people easily from all over the world who all tell very compelling stories.
Yeah.
They're not all lying.
No, I don't think they're lying either. A lot of these people truly did see something.
Absolutely. And so I believe based on the testimony of many, many, many witnesses.
Mm-hmm. That's a big thing, like I said, though, Jeff. I mean, and you actually made a very good point, too, concerning, like, second parties and third parties and stuff like that. They can point you in the right direction.
Right.
That's a really that's a really important thing, because, you know, you just can't blow a person off. Like, I was just joking around earlier. I have done that myself, where I've been like, okay, well, you say that your friend experienced this. Where's your friend at right now?
Sure.
And, you know, 9 times out of 10, they're like, yeah, you know, let me give you their phone number, or this is where they live, or this is where they work. Go by there and visit them, tell them that I sent you, and, you know, we'll take it from there. There are a few people that go, well, they don't live here anymore. Okay, well, thanks for the story. That was a lot of fun. You know,
right.
It went well with my cup of coffee. Let's, you know, I have other things to do now. That is a big thing, like I was saying before, though, Jeff. It seems like there is more people like yourself going out in the field now, and as opposed to really getting into the dirt of it, getting your hands really dirty and going out to the areas and trying to collect this hard scientific evidence of an actual occurrence, there are people like yourself who I, you know, equate to like Troy Taylor, because Troy Taylor is a very big, big history guy.
Sure.
That's what he
loves.
Yeah,
Troy will.
Yeah, Troy's a great guy. We've been on the show before, and that was his big, that was the first time I was ever really exposed to this kind of stuff. He wants to research the history of the area. He wants to understand that completely. And you actually brought up another interesting point with that, though, too, is that you can't... That's irrefutable evidence right there.
Right.
That someone died there. We have a police record right here that this person died in this house. That's going to complement well if you actually do get some type of occurrence on tape or on camera or on audio, on film, whatever you want to call it. It's very hard to put two and two together. I know that. I mean, we've been trying to do it for years here on Ghostly
right.
Talk. You know, for example, you have the little girl who was, you know, run over by a tractor on her farm or something like that. And then there's supposed to be a little girl that walks around the farm field now, you know. Okay, we have this irrefutable evidence. We have the police report that this lady was run over, or this little girl was run over by a tractor. And then, okay, that's cool. We have that piece of evidence. Now we go out there and we turn our cameras on and we capture on film this little ghostly thing kind of floating around the screen of the farm field or whatever. Those two pieces of evidence right there, that's going to make it, that's a very solid piece of evidence.
Well, that would
right
be
there.
Compelling.
Very
yeah.
compelling. Very compelling. It's a very solid
sure.
piece of evidence right there. So I think that as far as the study goes, I mean, we need more people like you, Jeff, to do that kind of stuff. Unfortunately, me, I'm like, I hate talking to people, except for on the show. It's fun. But it's like, oh, God, interview? Oh, okay, what did you see? What
you know,
color was it?
Hmm? I've been doing interviews for years. I used to write for newspapers, and I really connect well with people, and that's one of my favorite parts of this process, because first of all, you have to develop a great deal of trust before someone's going to be willing to tell you their ghost encounter. And because sometimes I'm not just, you know, some people are want to share them, and that's fine, and I think that's good and healthy too. But there are some people that are very have very credible titles, like police officer, you know, doctor, who go through the experience, and they're only going to share it with someone they trust, who's not going to make them look like a fool. And I've done this enough now. First of all, I'd put myself out of business if I ever did that to anybody. But second of all, I've done this enough now where people are starting to trust me more out of the gate. And people are coming to me and saying, listen, I just want to understand what I went through and want to share their stories. And I take a lot of pride that people are willing to do that. But, you know, you talk about the researchers, and this is a fast-growing field of study, without a doubt. But I think if you leave out the history, you're leaving out a big part of the whole experience and what may be there. You know, I just think that there's so many people that can make such good contributions to this whole field. You know, we've got all these people out there doing the work. Let's get a little more organized. Let's understand how the equipment works, and let's have a protocol on how we do things.
Well, I find that I've been surprised at, for example, with UFO encounters, the quality of people, or the not quality of people, that's a silly phrase, but
right.
the professionalism of certain people who report that, yes, I saw something, because, I mean, it could mean jobs in some cases. And I've seen where, you know, two policemen reported this thing in the sky, and you know, at the same time as all these other people, and different things like that. It's been... It's kind of crazy, and I've also heard from people all walks of life with ghost stories. So sometimes I'm surprised by the different people of all walks of life that have a story, and it's a pleasant surprise. It's something that I'm happy to hear.
I think everyone has a story. You know, when people find out what I do, you know, at a party or whatever, you know, I get laughed at, and that's fine. I'm a big boy. I can handle that. But those same people that laugh, I swear, they always end up later on, they pull me aside and they say, you know, there was this one time, and I just smile and I say, okay, go ahead. You know, tell me your one time. no one is more than one person removed from a ghost encounter. I've yet to really find someone. If it didn't happen to you, it happened to someone close to you.
Right.
You know,
someone you trust.
Right. Yeah. Right. And but it's just, who do you share it with? The good news is, I think it's changing. I think you look at mainstream media today. You look at all the TV shows, both documentary and drama, that are on all the various networks. People are talking about the subject. Shows like yourself, you know, promote the discussion, and I think that's great. I think we should be talking about it. We don't have all the answers. We don't fully understand why this seems to happen again and again. But in talking about it, we're all going to get to a better place with it.
Oh, yeah, completely.
And that's what's so important. That's, you know, like I said, we're not going to just get on and I can give the most compelling lecture of my life, but I'm not going to convince someone who's vehemently against believing in this based on their ideology or their religious upbringing or their devout atheism. I won't convince that person, but if we can just get the discussion going to the point where people consider different possibilities, then we're on the right track and we're doing something good.
And that can be the hardest part for some people, too.
Well, even if it just surprises them and takes them aback for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, right.
Oh, my gosh, my mom has a story. You know, or,
oh my gosh,
this you know, little old lady sitting at a lecture next to me who looks as innocent as apple pie, you know, has a story, you know.
It also comes down, like Jeff was saying, though, as far as just discussion about the subject, not necessarily stories of some sorts. Like, just like, okay, what if this happens? Well, what if that happened? What if this could happen?
Right.
It's hard to get someone who says, no, I don't believe in ghosts. I don't believe in anything of that sort. It's all rubbish. I don't want to talk about it. It's very hard to get them to try to at least run a few possibilities by you as far as the discussion would go. Like, well, you know, I don't believe in ghosts. But this could be a way to do it, though. I don't know. Possibly.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to get a person like that. That's the hardest thing, to get a person that don't believe in it. Unfortunately, you know, I don't want to call them closed-minded people, because a lot of those people aren't. They're open to all types of things. But this is just one of those things that they're like, well, I don't. You know, we've had them on the show.
Sure. No,
we've had them on the show. I mean, it's cool. We can handle it. It's no problem.
I've interviewed James Randi, the Amazing Randi. Have you had him on?
No, I have not talked to him.
He's come up in discussion many times, though.
No, I've interviewed him a couple times now, and I think views like that are, we should welcome them, because they may bring up points that we hadn't thought of, people who believe, and I think you have to question everything, and then question it again. I've seen some groups now that are getting really organized, some paranormal investigation groups, coming together, and one of the positions they're looking for is a skeptic, someone who will come in and disbelieve everything. And that's great. That's fantastic. Someone who, that might be the first person to say, yeah, I hear the thumping in the wall, but where does the hot water pipe run?
Yeah.
You know?
You need
and that's
that
a great
person.
Question.
Well, you totally need that person. I can't stress that enough to a lot of people. It's like, look, if you have a whole group of people that are completely convinced as of right now that ghosts do exist, you're going to see all kinds of ghosts. I say this all the time to people. I'm like, look, if you believe in it, you're going to see them. Your mind's going to make you see them. You need to have that anchor in, you know, within your organization, if that's what you want to do. You need to have at least a couple of them, I think.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. It's important to question everything. And the only defense I have when someone says, well, what do you say to just a complete hardcore skeptic who doesn't believe in any of this? You know, what's interesting, if they're an atheist, I'm better with that. If someone is an atheist and believes there's just absolutely no afterlife, I'm kind of okay with them not believing in ghosts. I'm like, okay, well, you know, fine. You have a consistent position.
Mm-hmm.
It's when someone who's religious and is vehemently against ghosts, you say, wow, where do you draw the line? That's a little more.
Well, yeah, exciting. Where is your breaking point? With
right. Yeah. What's the difference between a saint and angel? You know. Anyway.
Yeah.
Another discussion. But the only thing I can say to someone who's just and I use the term devout atheist, because I think it takes as much energy to be a devout atheist as it does to be a devout of any belief system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, have you died yet?
Well, yeah.
So you can't conclusively say, you know, you don't know what's on the other side of a wall if you've never been on the other side of it.
Well, that's what I keep saying to people. I mean, we talk to people all the time, Jeff, and they're like, this is the way it is. This is the way it works. I believe that there are ghosts, and this is why there are ghosts.
Right.
Thank you for your opinion. It's really, really cool. But have you died yet?
Yeah, right. Yeah, I can't prove it. I believe based on a ton of circumstantial evidence, but I can't say, you know, with absolute 100% certainty there are ghosts. There certainly is some phenomena going on that's affecting millions, not hundreds, not thousands, millions of people on every continent from every religious upbringing that is very consistent in nature, as far as the type of phenomena.
Oh, yeah, totally.
But I'm still a skeptic at heart. I'm still a journalist, and I want to understand both sides. I'm fortunate. My sister is she's a developmental psychologist. She's a PhD.
Uh-huh.
And if you don't have one in your family, I highly recommend getting one. You may want to consider marrying into it or something.
There you go.
But I run stuff by her all the time, and she gives me such great insight. And she's so open-minded, but it is funny. I'll call her with the most outlandish questions, Like, her name's Sue, and I'm just like, Sue, what's the nature of a hallucination? How does that work? And she's just like, oh, God, That is such a huge open-ended question, and then we get into a long discussion. And I end up being better for it because she can really explain these things. We do need to understand that sometimes a ghost experience is a hallucination.
Completely.
Now, whether it's drug-induced or just, like you said, mass hysteria where there's a whole group of believers who thinks they're going to see a ghost and then they do, but that's all seems to be part of what we're studying, which,
It is part of the greater ball of wax. So
yeah, that's right.
But while we contemplate that,
yeah,
let's take a quick break.
Let's do that.
I don't know if I have any more actual break,
mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to play Cruising the Graveyard by Tony
Nash,
is what I opened the show with. Or that's what I was playing before we actually started the show.
Uh-huh.
So some folks will have heard this already, but it's one of my favorite things. It really fits the ambiance of what we're talking about.
Excellent.
So let's hear from Tony Nash a little bit, and then we'll be right back with more from... Oh, you know
Jeff
what?
Belanger.
Well, they want me to say...
Belanger.
They want me to do it. They want me to do it. They want me to do
it. Well, do your French guy. Do your French guy.
We'll be back with Jeff Belanger.
Oh, merci beaucoup.
We'll be right back.
Why isn't it playing?
There, it's playing now.
Okay.
All right.
We're out.